You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. So here's a question for you. Can getting your finances in order actually be fun and not too stressful? Well, creator and host of the popular podcast Stacking Benjamins thinks so. Joel Saul-Sehy and Emily Guy Birkin are joining us today to talk about their new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so can we start with kind of an overarching theme that I felt was in the book as I was reading it? And that's this idea that you should kind of enjoy the process when it comes to money, whether it's, you know, you're managing your money, getting out of debt, whatever it is, as much as the outcome. So Joe, maybe let's start with you. What do you mean by that?
Well, the idea of this came to me because of the fact that I've seen some horrible statistics about how many people were leaving behind when it comes to the topic of money management. There was a report recently, in fact, by a group called Nonfiction, and it's called The Secret Financial Lives of Americans, and just some horrible numbers in this. And I'll give you one that really impacted, I think, this project, which is 150 million people in the United States report that they cry about their money. And you would think that a number that big, that most of those people are people living paycheck to paycheck, like I was back in the early 1990s, wondering how I was going to make it just another day with a little bit of money that I had and a huge debt load that I had. But it actually wasn't just that. While more people who are living paycheck to paycheck or low income earners also are crying about money, nearly half of people making over $250,000 or more report that they're worried about their money. And so, you know, we hear a lot about the hot stuff in personal finance, NFTs or cryptocurrency, but I don't think, Gemma, that people are crying about that. I don't think they're crying about the fact that, you know, the mega backdoor Roth IRA might go away. Like, that's not what they're worried about. They're really worried about what I was worried about, which is how am I going to feed my family tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay. So then, how, when it comes to that, you know, Emily, I'm curious about, as you were writing this book, as well, how do you then look at realistic goal setting? Because the last thing you want to do is cry every single day, especially over money, because it's so stressful.
Yes. Yeah. It does cause such immeasurable stress on so many people. So setting realistic goals, I think, is something that we are not really taught how to do. And that's true when it comes to money. And it's true when it comes to any kind of goals. Like, just look at how many New Year's resolutions fail within the first month of the year. So one of the things that Joe introduced me to in this book that I had not kind of put this together before was not just the importance of writing down your goals, because you see that all the time, write down your goals, write down your goals. Joe suggests that instead of just writing them down, put them on a timeline. So, and he suggests, because this is, drawing is always going to be more fun than not drawing, you know, get a piece of paper, draw yourself on the left-hand side. If you've got any artistic talent, you know, go ahead and have fun with it. If not, a stick figure will do. And then,
that would be me.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a stick figure. It doesn't matter. You know, label it. That's what comics are. And then
draw
a line going out to the right for you know, to represent the rest of your life, and put things on the timeline that you want to reach. Now, there are a couple of reasons why this is so helpful. For one thing, it's not just enough to say that you want to do something. So I'll give you an example. During our honeymoon, I remember my husband and I saw this $7,000 bicycle. And at the time, he was very much into competitive bicycling. And he was like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever be able to afford something like that. And I said to him, like, of course you can. And we can do this. You know what? I'll plan on buying this for you for our first anniversary. And I really meant it. But I didn't have a plan in place. I did not think, okay, I need to save this much this month, this much that month. Put it in investments. I just was like, yeah, it'll happen. And of course it did not. So And that's why another reason why timelining your goals is so important, because it tells you like, okay, if I want to retire in 7 years, this is what I need to do to get there. If I want to help put my kids through college, this is what we need to do to get there. So that's really valuable. And then on top of that, another thing that's very valuable about timelining your goals is you'll notice if they overlap. If you are planning your retirement and your kids are going to be in college the same time that you're retiring, how is that going to affect either of those goals? And once you start doing all of that, you kind of free your mind to start thinking of solutions for things instead of just looking to the next thing, the next thing, or, you know, letting that bike never be bought.
Which sometimes that happens.
Sometimes
that's such
happens.
A good point though. Because I think that's such a good point. You know, Joe, let's go back to this idea of, I like what Emily said about maybe you could retire right at the time your kids are going off to college. I mean, this is a conversation that my husband and I have all of the time, because that's exactly the scenario that we could potentially be in. And so we talk about, well, okay, so it's, we have different plans. Like we have plan A, plan B, plan C, and it all kind of depends upon, you know, where our kids decide to go to college. So are those kind of conversations that, that you should be having? Cause it's not stressful because we have different plans.
Oh, I love that question, because everybody asks Emily and I all the time, like, what spreadsheet should I use? And, or how do you do your budget? And you know what I think is more important, and you nailed it. I think the communication is the best part of the budget, because in my family is like, I think a lot of families where one of us was living in a place that I call fantasy land, where all the magical money stuff was going to take care of itself. And by the way, I was so busy. I used to be a financial planner. It's been a long time since I was a financial planner, but during that time, it was me. I thought everything was just being handled by Cheryl, my spouse, and I was helping other people with their money. So I was in fantasy land. She knew where every dollar was. And then I would come in the door with something very important for the family at the same time she did. And I remember this one time, both things very important for the family. She came home with school clothes for our twins, and I came home with the latest video game. And both of those super important, but it caused this argument because we didn't realize each other were going to be spending money. Of course, I'm joking about the importance, but what helped us a lot was this very quick meeting that we do every week. And it's meant to be 20 minutes because we want to keep it fun. We want to keep it light. And it's normally over pancakes because we like doing this first thing in the morning and we want to keep it fun. And when we do the meeting at the 20 minute mark, we stop. And it's very simple. All we do is we look through what expenses we had the week before. Then we look at what expenses we have coming up in the following week. And pretty much that's it. A couple times a year, we will talk about our investments and reallocating. But what that does is it gets rid of the fights, make sure we're both on the same page. And the cool thing that happens, and this is neat, is then we have these organic discussions all week long about our money and our, and more important than our money, about our values and what we really want. And it, believe it or not, it might not be that video game.
Okay. So I think you give some great advice too about things like, okay, maybe you're not in the financial position you want to be in right now. So maybe look at a side hustle. You mentioned you were a financial advisor at one point, Joe. It's important to have a financial advisor, but I would assume just not any random financial advisor.
No, you just go randomly find one. No, I'm
just go out on the street and say, anyone want to help me with my money?
Hey, here, I got a stack of money. Can you help me?
That's right. That generally, no, absolutely not. And I'll tell you, I have a mentality that I adopted after I kept failing at things over and over and over and over, which is I need to surround myself with smarter people. I need to be the dumbest person in any room I go into, and I need coaches around me to protect my downside. I'm naturally optimistic. I think the glass is even half full. I think it's three quarters full all the time. So I need people that are going to tell me, no, Joe, you're messing that up. And I think you need a I need at least a financial advisor who's going to be a team member. And let me define what I mean by that. What I don't want is somebody who allows me to abdicate my money. I don't want to turn it over to some magical guru who's going to take it and be my money person for 6 months. And then 6 months later, I walk into their office and I go, well, how did you do? I need somebody who's going to make me smarter. So I need somebody with the mind of a teacher who's going to show me, no, those things aren't important for your goals. These are the things that are important for your goals. So why don't I educate you on how to be better at those things? And I think if we start off by finding more teachers in our life and we open ourselves up to those things that we might not know as much about as we could, it makes the process a lot more fun. It makes it collaborative. And we get a lot less frustrated with our advisors, but that we are expecting to do things that really aren't going to work anyway.
And just to jump on top of that, one of the things that I think is really important with finding a financial advisor is to remember that you are always going to be the person behind the wheel. They can help with the map. So, and if you think of it that way, think of it as like, this is your game. This is your project. This is your money. And they are helping with the map. Then not only does that mean that you're not going to be vulnerable to Bernie Madoff types who are like, oh, don't worry about a thing. You know, don't worry your pretty little head. You're going to have millions of dollars. Just trust me. So you're going to be protected from that. But then it is also going to mean that you are going to make better decisions for yourself, for your day-to-day money to help you get where you want to go, because that financial professional has given you the map, but has let you know that you are the one in the driver's seat.
And can I jump back in again with just two quick tips to find a good advisor, or actually to avoid finding the wrong one? One thing is, if you walk into a financial advisor's office, and I've been in tons of offices over the last 30 years, if the receptionist is disgruntled, I will tell you everything comes from the top, and the advisor probably isn't going to be somebody that you're going to like dealing with either. If the staff seems not happy, you can also get some clues, by the way, from the reception area. If they've got Jim Cramer yelling sell on the television, you probably want to run, because you don't want your heart beating faster. I like the Travel Channel, you know, how do I dream bigger?
Exactly.
Like, what are those things? But then the second thing, and I think this one is also really important, that a friend of mine told me a long time ago, if the advisor starts off with product and not process, in other words, if they don't ask you, what are your goals and what are you envisioning, and instead tell you, hey, I've got this thing that's going to solve all your problems, and by the way, I don't even know what those are yet, you need to run.
So before I let you go, I think, you know, as we talk about, you know, things like get a good financial advisor and, you know, make a budgeting plan, I think for a lot of people, it's hard to even think about those things because you've got debt and you are overwhelmed by debt. So how do people start down that path without, as you mentioned, Joe, in the beginning, crying every single day? Because, I mean, this, I remember feeling like that back in my 20s.
So one thing that I think is really important is to kind of create a game mindset for yourself when it comes to your money management. And the reason for that is because if you're thinking about debt and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be in debt forever, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, that's going to make you feel sad and make you cry. But if you start thinking of it as like a game, and for me, I think of the game like Tetris, where you can make everything fit and you can clear those lines. You can clear those lines of credit if you just rearrange how you do things, figure out how something fits into your budget, figure out, look at things in a different way and from a different direction. And then if you start thinking of it that way, then you're going to be looking at things in a solution-based mindset. And then that also gives you the opportunity to kind of create a fun way of looking at it so that you get the intrinsic motivation to keep paying off your debt. If you're filling in a debt thermometer, if you're filling in a Tetris board and you're coloring in every time you send another $100 off, then you'll look forward to like, oh, I get to send another $100 off instead of, oh, I have to pay the bill.
I guess. Yeah. I got to pay that bill again. Well, I appreciate both of you so very much. What a fun conversation, which I think sometimes we don't think of money and fun in when we talk about it. So thank you both so much. We've been talking with Joe Saul-Sehy and Emily Guy-Burkin about their new book, Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Their book is out now. Grab a copy of it. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.